through 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles 15, and the verse is verse 2, 2 Chronicles 15, 2. So, we're looking at prayer in the Bible and some of the passages that deal with prayer and things related to prayer. Here, actually, we see a prophecy laid out by the prophet named Azariah, and he gives this instruction to Asa, King Asa. So let's read this through. I may read it and you follow along. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." All right, let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless our time tonight now. We thank you for giving us another Wednesday evening service to come here and worship, sing songs, and be in the Word of God. Pray that you'll challenge our hearts as we consider these passages, help encourage us about prayer, about doing the right things that you'd have us to do. We pray that you'll lessen this time now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we have the account then of King Asa. Asa was the great-grandson of Solomon, and he was in the southern kingdom. And these two chapters, 14 and 15, 14, 15, and 16 actually, three chapters, deal with Asa's life. And we see that in chapter 14, Asa had just had a very outstanding victory over the Ethiopians. We noticed that back there in 14:9. I preached on this a few months ago, where the Ethiopians had 1,000 soldiers, 300 chariots. So 1,000, let's see, that multiplies out to 1,000,000. So he had a 1,000,000-man army, and came out against Asa. And we looked there at 14:11, whereas Asa's army was a mere 300,000 plus. But anyway, in verse 11, Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, "Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude." And of course, the Lord gave him the victory here, and so he's coming out of a tremendous victory, Asa. And now that he's had this victory, we come into chapter 15, and the prophet here, Azariah, has a message for Asa. And the message is what I read there in verse 2. The several points there in the message itself that he gave. We could look at this basically and divide this passage into three basic truths here. Here is the requirement that that Asa gave in his prophecy. And then we see Asa's response, and then we see the result of his response. But first of all, let's look at the requirement. And in the requirement, we have the instruction, first of all, the Lord is with you. Now, having the Lord with the king here is very, very important. And so the hand of the Lord was upon Asa. This theme of the Lord with you runs throughout the whole Bible. This is very important to believers to know that the Lord is with the believer. It goes all the way back to certainly the garden, when the Lord was with Adam and Eve in the garden. And then later on with the patriarchs, the Lord says this to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, "I am with you," at various places. The virgin birth passage in Isaiah 7:14 has to do with Emmanuel, God with us. So that's the name of Emmanuel, is God with us in Isaiah 7:14. So when the virgin woman brings forth the child, that's going to bring God with us, God with man. So the theme of the Lord being with the believer runs throughout the whole Bible, and is very, very important. And certainly, this is what believers want. Believers want the Lord with them. All right? So here is the statement, the Lord is with thee. If you look there in verse 9, here the northern kingdom nations were going to Asa because they realized that God was with him. See that in verse 9, tail end of verse 9. So not only was this a theological truth, the Lord was with him, but people recognized that the Lord was with Asa. Alright, so that was important as well. So we see in his requirement, that is Azariah, the son of Oded, he says, first of all, the Lord is with you, while you be with him. So notice that, Lord is with you, while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So notice three parts of this. First of all, the Lord is with you, while you be with him. So having a relationship with the Lord is just that. It's a relationship. And a relationship, there needs to be two persons involved. And so the two persons involved would be you and the Lord. And if you want the Lord with you, then you need to be with the Lord. Okay, so that's just figures in a human relationship, right? You don't want, if you run from the Lord, is he with you? No. So you need to be with the Lord, and he's with you. And furthermore, he expounds on that. If you seek him, he will be found of you. And so the Lord's not trying to hide from us. If we want to be with him, if we want to seek him and so on, he'll be found. He will be found of you. We can find the Lord. He wants to be found. Even in the believer's relationship, he wants to have a relationship. He wants to have a relationship with us far more than we want to have with him. And so all we have to do is seek the Lord and he'll be found. He wants to be with us, but we need to want to be with him. And then he says, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So that seems to be based on an earlier statement back there in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 1 Chronicles 28. Where the Lord speaks to Solomon. Here he says in 1 Chronicles 28:9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. So you see, there's some of the same phraseology here that the Lord gave Solomon, and now this same teaching gets down to Solomon's great-grandson through the prophet here, Azariah, the son of Oded. So here we have this ongoing message, basically, that seek the Lord, he'll be found, forsake the Lord, and he will forsake you. So, here we see human responsibility, right? If you're interested in a relationship with the Lord, he's interested in that. If you want to move closer to him, he'll move closer to you, and so on. So this is a biblical teaching here. But the converse is true as well. And so, we have to ask, who moved first, maybe, there from a believer's point of view. So we have the requirement that Azariah lays down here. Now, secondly, we have the response. We have the response. We'll look at that here in a moment. As Azariah gives us this, or gives Asa this nugget of truth, he reminds Asa of Israel's past history. He says that in verse 3, for instance, Now for a long season Israel hath been without a true God, the true God, without a teaching priest, without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, so long season in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. and nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. He apparently is taking them back to the time of the judges as an illustration here. So his point in verse 2 is, seek the Lord, he'll be found. Forsake the Lord, and he'll forsake you. Then he gives them an example, a historical example. In those times, he takes us back, he takes Asa back there. In those times, and apparently he's talking about the times of the judges. For instance, if you look there in the book of Judges, several passages may help here. The last verse in the book of Judges certainly describes the times in 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. All right, so no king, but every man did that which was right in his eyes. And then another passage in Judges, if you look there in chapter 2 of Judges. Uh, 2:18, for instance, which states, that, and when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. All right, so the Lord gave judges to them and help deliver them. So this takes us back to our passage 15:4, where historically Azariah is saying, and when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And when they found the Lord sent judges to help deliver them from their affliction. So we see that cycle that went on. They sinned, and then they ran into trouble, and then they repented, and then the Lord brought in judges and restored things. And so we see that pattern going on. So it seems like Azariah is taking them back to the time of judges, and he's saying basically to Asa, don't fall into the same trap that the Jews did back in those days. Because you see, Asa had just had victory over a big enemy, and now he was in a place of great blessing. But he didn't want to return to the days of the judges and have to go through the cycle time and time again. Then in verse 5, so we're looking at 15:5, the verse I read, in those days there was no peace to them that went out and came in. Here, in this case, if you look at Judges 5:6 says that in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel and so on. So why were the highways unoccupied? Because they were dangerous, that's why. And so how did people go? It says the travelers walked through byways, or they walked through crooked paths. In other words, they went the back way to avoid the public highways, because in those days the highways were dangerous. And so here we have this passage in Judges, and here is what it seems that Azariah is saying to Asa, in those times there was no peace to them that went out, nor to him that came in. So when they're as they went back and forth, they were in great danger. So that seems to dovetail in with that. Alright, so as he is giving his requirement, seek the Lord, don't forsake him, he gives an illustration. Then we go to the response of Asa in verse 8 and following. When Asa heard these words of the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, actually, it was Azariah, the son of Oded, But maybe Azariah got this from Oded, you see. And where did Oded get this? Well, maybe Oded got it from Solomon. So you see this, the history of it. So this is not a mistake in your Bible. It says the prophecy of Oded the prophet. Earlier it was Azariah the son of Oded. But I would say that Oded was Azariah's father, and Oded gave the message to Azariah. Azariah gave it to Asa, and this would be a continual message going on and on and on. So when he heard the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin. So when he heard the word of God, basically, he was encouraged by it. Encouraged and courageous. And so he responded to the message here, and we see his response in several ways. Number one, with great courage, he put away abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin. So these would be the two, the southern tribes, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord, and was before the portion of the Lord. And so he took care of some things spiritually in the very center for the southern kingdom. He took care of the idolatry and so on. Next, in verse 9, another thing he did, he gathered all of Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. So what was happening were the tribes that were in Judah and Benjamin, they were going to the more attractive, godless tribes of the northern kingdom, and so he gathered them back. They belonged back here with the land for their own tribes, back to Judah and Benjamin. And so he brought them back, those who were rightfully to be in Judah and Benjamin. And verse 9 says, "For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." So he gathered them from these other tribes, gathered those who belonged there in Judah and Benjamin, when they saw the Lord was with them. So he gathered them back. That's another positive thing. He didn't want these tribes be decimated, so he gathered them back. And then verse 11, "And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep." So here they made an offering unto the Lord. So you see, these are some of the positive moves that he's making to bring worship back into the land and to demonstrate that he wants the Lord to be with him and he wants to seek the Lord. And so one of the ways that they would manifest seeking the Lord would be offering an offering to the Lord. This would be the way they would meet with the Lord. And then it says they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. So they covenant with the Lord. Actually, we see it's called an oath in verse 15 that they had sworn, but they covenanted with the Lord. And part of their covenant was that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. So that was a pretty strong covenant that they made. He's basically saying, I'm living for the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord. And I'm going to do this with my kingdom. And those who don't want this, I will have put to death. So they made a covenant there. That would be somewhat persuasive, wouldn't it? We would think. And then 14, they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. All right, now you see, just as the prophet predicted, you seek the Lord, he'll find him. Here it says they sought the Lord, and he was found. You follow that? So he prophesied it, and sure enough, that's what happened. The scripture tells us things to do, and when we do these things, these biblical things, then we find out the Lord answers what he's promised. and so he was found of them. And we're told the result of this, both here and in verse 19. But before we get to that, verse 15, the Lord gave them rest round about. But let's notice several other things that he did. Verse 16 says, also concerning Maachah, the mother, or probably his grandmother, of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it in the brook Kidron. So here, notice he had to take care of his mother, or probably grandmother, because she was involved in idolatry. So you see how bold he was. He even had to deal with his own relative here. And he cut down her idol. So you see how committed he was to doing the Lord's will. Now, we're told in verse 17, but the high places were not taken out of Israel. And this is probably because some of the people didn't want them taken out. And so he was apparently limited at this point. But because, notice this final clause there says, nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. So it was perfect. In other words, he was faithful to the Lord with these regards, and wanted to see and draw nearer to the Lord. Now, in verses 18 and 19, we see some of the result then of his carrying out what the commandment was, what the requirement was. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated at Beabijah, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So the Lord gave him rest and no more war for a period of time. This was the result of his obedience. So we see the requirement given by the prophet, seek the Lord, basically. We see his response, he did seek the Lord, and we see the result of that, he had peace for a number of years. Now, so far so good with Asa, and that's really the impetus of the message here, but chapter 16 is in the Bible as well, and we see in 16:1, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, the king of Judah comes up against him. And at this point, then, he trusts in the Syrian rather than in the Lord, and he's rebuked here. Verse 7, that time Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? And because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. So here, another prophet's coming to him. The first prophet came to him, Azariah, and challenged him, and he listened, he obeyed. Now this prophet comes to him later in his life, and or the opportunity came to trust the Lord, and he doesn't. So this prophet comes to him and rebukes him. And verse 9 is a fairly well-known verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. See, so the blessings he had earlier were taken away. He would have wars. He's done foolishly. And that's because the eyes of the Lord knows everything. So what was Asa's response then to this prophet who told him he behaved foolishly? Asa was wroth, we're told, verse 10, with the seer and put him in the prison house. So he didn't like the message, so what did he do? He took care of the messenger. See that? Put him in jail. And then, of course, we may remember how there at the end of his life, he was stricken with some disease in his feet. And we're told in verse 12, Asa, in the 30th and 90th year of his reign, he reigned 41 years. He was diseased in his feet until the disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to physicians. So here we see the scripture gives another rebuke on him. So here is the life and ministry of Asa, that he started off good. He had a good situation. He had peace in the land. He had it made. He had safety and peace and so on. And yet, as other opportunities came up, he failed in these. He didn't trust the Lord later on in a lesser battle against a lesser army. And he didn't trust the Lord when he had physical affliction later in his life. And so he's rebuked along here in several ways. And so here we find an interesting individual here. Now, the focus of our passage is on 15:2 there, and he certainly did this. But it also bears out the idea that for the believer's life needs to be a consistent pattern through the whole year, all of the lifetime, actually. And we don't want to start off good and then lose everything at the end. You see that? As temptations come, because they will come. And so how does that apply to our church? Well, applies to our church this way, that I think in part that we've had a good beginning here, but as temptations come, we don't want to undo the good beginning that we've had. So we've got to be diligent here and careful that when temptations come, we overcome the temptations by faith, and we don't sin against the Lord. We keep trying to seek Him and find Him. He'll be found. But if we forsake Him and trust in other things, certainly there's other possibilities of things that we could trust in, then we'll sin against Him. So we don't want to do that. We want to be trusting Him. And as we could look here and say, well, we've had a good beginning, I believe, but we want to have a good ending, don't we? We want to end up good as well. All right, so let's look to the Lord in prayer here. Father, bless our time now. As we go to prayer, we thank you for, once again, the privilege to meet here. We pray for the requests now that will be stated and go forth here in a few moments, that you'll hear these requests, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.